And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup. Right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Mexa in the world headquarters here of Let's Talk Hookup with Captain Brian Willett from Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. Just came on down the coast.
He's Kate.
Yeah, no worries, man. Beautiful, beautiful day, man. Hot water, right?
It looked nice and glassy on
there. Yeah, for sure. So we're, and he brought somebody's going to get the full Dana Wharf.
Yeah, you're not getting a couple of half-day passes, and if that weren't enough, three-quarter day as well. We're giving away a bunch of trips to Dana Wharf Sport Fishing. One lucky caller going to get two half-day passes, two three-quarter day passes. You and a friend are stoked for the Dana Wharf Coastal Special.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. You want to get in on that great time, have a chance to win that great prize, or better yet, just your chance to ask your question to Captain Brian Willie, 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup this morning, or send us a text. We've got a ton of great text to read here in the second hour. That text option only available via the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Yeah, great text here this is from Danny in San Clemente, a local.
Okay,
you guys.
Cool.
Just wanted to mention that Captain Willie is truly one of the good guys in fishing. His program with kids is the best on the coast. My question is, what is his favorite type of fishing and species to target?
Gosh, that's good stuff. You know,
yeah.
I think a lot of the local three-quarter day boat guys, I think they really love just simple calico bass fishing, right? Because it's such a launching pad from there, right? You can just take so many of those skill sets and translate over to just about anything, you know. But rolling out on the boat and just knowing, you know, you're back in the boat and into the kelp or whatever, and you just know you're going to catch some fish, and, you know, it just looks right.
Yeah.
You just get stoked on that and grab your rod and make a few casts and... You know, I love calico bass fishing.
You a fly line chovy guy? Are you a swim bait guy, a surface iron guy? If, like, you could pick and the kelp's laid down perfect, and you know you set up, and you know you're
right.
Going to catch a 3-pound bass, how would you?
I'm going giant sardine.
Okay.
Big live sardine.
Giant sardine.
The biggest one you can find in the
handrail,
right, when it's looking like that. But there's days where we'll have a good time making casts with the surface iron or fishing the rubber lure or the fluke or whatever. There's days we're fishing 6-pound on little spinning outfits just because it's so much fun, you know? So,
totally.
But, yeah, that bass fishing, that's a fave.
And there again, that's one of the many reasons that it's a fave, because all of those things you just mentioned are just as fun as the other, you know, picking the way you want to catch them and,
totally.
And how it's done.
And I think, you know, you're casting a surface iron. You get good at casting a surface iron fishing calico bass, you're going to get good at catching yellowtail on the surface iron, right? You get good at fly lining a bait and figuring out how the bait swims and, you know, those nuances of fly lining a bait, you're going to be good at catching bluefin on a live bait. So just it's all crossover and it's all building blocks and, you know, certainly it's the foundation.
That's
cool. So tell us about the kids program that he was referring to.
We got some cool kids stuff.
Really
so
do.
During our summer months, we run 3 or 4 summer camps where it's like a week-long deal, right? You drop your kid off in the morning. We fish an extended half day, and they're on the boat, you know, 24 other kids with similar interests.
Cool.
And, you know, they get the full sport boat deal, you know, kind of break some of those fear barriers, right? How to pick a bait, how to tie a hook, where to cast, how to cast. You know, one day we'll fish bass with them. One day they want to fish rockfish. One day they want to fish whatever. We'll go, you know, offshore and try and find a kelp with them one day. And it's just good. It's good fun, you know. Like I said, they're with other kids that are into fishing. You know, fishing's come a long ways in the last, you know, few years. It's gotten, you know, pretty popular with a lot of kids. So it's good. You know, a lot of people don't know what other kids at their school are into fishing, right? And there's kids that, you know, we draw people from, you know, up in L.A. County or from San Diego County. And these are kids that, you know, fish together and they'll end up working on a boat together in San Diego at some point.
Yeah.
You know, we've had lots of kids do that and have gone on to, you know, be deckhands on other boats and whatnot. So that's super cool. So that's the summer fishing camp, and then we have another deal that we run through the city of San Clemente, which is like an after-school fishing program where they sign up with the Park and Rec, and it's like one day a week two times a year that we'll take those kids out for 3 hours after school, and same type of deal, just on a smaller scale.
I know those kids' camps are hugely popular, like sell out the second they go up kind of thing. So
they go fast. I don't have an actual date when that's all going to be open. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, on Sunday afternoons, we have an afternoon half day where they do a dockside seminar with the kids, come down to the boat. The captain will go over, you know, what they're going to target that day, how to pick a bait, kind of get them up to speed. With a little seminar, they do a little raffle, some prizes and stuff like that, and then the rest of the people on the trip come down and they go and fish.
So, cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it works out good. So lots of kids stuff.
You guys do such a good job with your social media that would probably be the best way to keep in touch with when the announcements for kids camp's going to happen.
Absolutely.
All those trips, you know.
We'll put that out there like that, or, you know, the office. There's a plethora of information you can get.
And then your weekly reports, I'm sure you'll key us in.
We try and push what, you know, the most pertinent, mm-hmm. you know, information that's relevant to the time out, like Rick said, is in as many different avenues or ways as possible. So that information will
get out. When does that usually come?
Which part?
Yeah, the kids.
The kids stuff. So those are, you know, obviously during the summer months, June, July, before school starts.
Then the announcements.
The announcements probably come out in like March or April.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then it's get on the phone like now because, you know, soccer moms are, you know, they're on it, man. They got to get those camp stuff. That stuff goes fast.
But like you say, that's what the point I was making is Dana Wharf does such a good job of getting the info out everywhere. Your website, all the social media avenues, Let's Talk Hookup. Yeah. Like you guys just do it. You do it right. It's awesome. It's very fun. And you always feel like you know what's going on up there.
We do, and we love taking the kids.
That's
like,
cool.
It's cool. And you know what? I have a lot of kids come back and end up working for us, so it's kind of like Jack Cannon training, which is kind of cool. Get these kids,
the farm system.
Like, totally.
Yeah, well, look at the text we read earlier,
right.
Kids are going to be a marine biologist.
That's right. Cool. And, you know, we've had a lot of kids grow up here and end up owning boats and operating boats, you know, which has been super cool to watch that whole dynamic go down.
Awesome. That's right. Yeah.
Well, let's jump into those jam-packed phones.
You got it, man. How about this time we talk to John? John's calling us from Long Beach this morning. Hey, John, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
John's gone.
I guess we
know John. So how about we roll into Sean? Sean come from Lomita. No John, now Sean.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Captain Willie. You know, I was primarily a long-range fisherman, but that was B.C. before children. And fast forward 10 years later, now I got a son that I took fishing over the summer. And I had a couple big spinning reels, and I had, you know, some of my smaller long-range outfits. And he really gravitated towards the conventional reel. And so I'm thinking about getting a couple setups and some Tranks reels. I haven't had his level wind. I think it'd be perfect for him. I could got some time to teach him how to cast. What would you recommend as a setup for three-quarter day and half-day fishing in the Tranks reels and
Tranks
poles?
Reels, yes. Right. Something like that with some, you know, 50-pound braid. You can, you know, adjust your monofilament based on what, you know, we're targeting that day. And I think something that's important to remind people, like, you know, like you said, you're bringing a kid out for the first time. I always tell my friends when I come with their kid, leave your fishing rods at home and just focus some time on helping your kid figure it out, right? Because you see people come out with their kids and they get frustrated because they can't fish themselves. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the dad kind of gets bunked that he has to help his kid the whole time and he can't cast a bait. And it's like, no, you're blowing it. You're blowing it. If you spend, like legit, if you spend two or three trips with your kid solely focusing on this is how you cast, this is how you hook your bait.
Make sure you catch a couple.
Right. You're going to be done. That kid's going to pick it up. Those kids are smart. They figure it out fast.
They'll be better than you.
And they're going to be better than you. Yeah. And, you know, you're just going to sit back and watch. And then, you know, you're going to have your fishing buddy. You're going to be able to go out. And it's so, yeah, that's my advice for the parents taking the kids. Leave your stuff at home. Come let the crew help you. Let's get this kid up to speed. But, yeah, something like a Tranks would work. Or even one of those bait runner spinning reels just to kind of get them comfortable with that whole dynamic.
Sean, I know you had mentioned the Tranks right away. I think that if your budget allows for it, and trust me, I get it. I mean, that's a $300 reel. Not everybody can, but if your budget allows for it, that is such a good reel to get for him. You said he already gravitated towards conventional reels, so he's obviously got the idea of it. The reason is the variable braking system on that reel, when fully engaged, is a really, really good reel for a beginner to learn how to cast.
Hard to backlash.
I'm totally aware that sometimes budget just doesn't dictate, you know, everybody being able to provide that for their kid. It's an expensive reel, but if you can, when you really turn that thing up, it's going to work with his, like, you know, his skill set that is just that he's just building with it, and very easy to adjust it too. So you crank all the brakes on, he's going to learn the fundamentals of how to cast the reel. Might not get the same distance that you're going to get, but he's not going to have backlash, and he's going to make a lot of consistent good casts. And as his skills increase, you can just start backing those centrifugal brakes off, and that reel will, you know, it'll engage with him. You know, as he starts to get a little better, you go to three or four brakes, and then you go to two or three brakes, then one or two, you know, and then all of a sudden he will be able to achieve that distance, but, you know, he's not going to be, you know, learning. You're still going to get a backlash or two, but they won't be real deep, and they won't be real difficult.
Manageable.
And, yeah, you're going to learn how to do it with the reel. So it's a great, great call you're making to start him off with that one.
Good for you. And good advice from Captain Woolley, too.
Yeah, come on down.
That'll
help you.
Now, that's the cool thing about Dana Wharf is you guys really cater to the kids.
I mean, it's nothing's better than watching a kid have a good time and catch something, right?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It's worth it for sure.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Here's a good follow-up. John from Vista says he's trying to get some information on making a donation to Rollo's kids. He called yesterday but couldn't get through. I want to make a donation to help Rollo's kids. So the easiest thing to do is Captain Rollo's, R-O-L-L-O .org. That is the website. It's CaptainRollo's.com, excuse me. I have to look it up. CaptainRollo's.org or com. I'll find it out. But that's the best thing to do. But if you want to make a donation in tackle, any Fisherman's Landing, any of the local tackle stores that will accept donations in tackle, I believe there's some Dana Wharf will accept.
We'll take some stuff.
You'll
sure.
take stuff, and that's how you get it. So if you have tackle to donate, just call Dana, like in Vista, you could take it to Dana Wharf. You could take it down to Fisherman's Landing. You could take it to Dana Landing in Mission Bay. Yeah. There's several locations.
I think there's anyone would take it, right? I think everyone's on board with making sure stuff gets to the right place. So I don't think, totally make it work.
You are right. CaptainRollo's.org.
Is
the website. And it is truly that easy. We have people do it all the time. We've got a little locker outside that we keep it all in. And when Mike or Tim or Harold or anybody from the organization is around, we just gather it all up from them. And it is literally that easy. If you're cleaning out the garage, you've upgraded from gold Trinidads to Trinidad A's, whatever the scenario exists, you can literally drop it off without any question, and we will take everything, make it gets into the right hands. And even if you think that it's not worth it for you, man, bring it in. Like, you know, I've had guys like, oh, this gear is too old. Well, the gear that's too old to you is not to somebody else. You know, and maybe it's a, you know, maybe it's something that you give away for nothing, and Mike and Tim deem is a $10 fishing rod for somebody. Somebody else is hooked up with that, and they're stoked, and that's $10 going to send kids fishing. So
right.
It doesn't matter what it is. Bring it in, and we'll make sure that it gets to the boys.
Have it collect dust in your corner of your garage.
Totally.
Bring it in and turn it into taking kids fishing. And I know you guys at Dana Wharf sponsor a lot of Rollo kids.
And we get a lot of those kids charters, too.
Yeah.
So it's awesome seeing those groups out, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Mike was talking about yesterday. First-timers. Some of these kids have never even seen the water.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's another link, too, is RolloKids.org, for sure. That's another good one. Mike Lum, speaking of Rollo Kids, I mean, he's...
Speaking
good morning, Mike.
One, I heard the question. I just wanted to clarify, and you guys just answered pretty much all the questions very accurately. RolloKids.org is the easiest way to get to the website. You can make donations right there. We have officially kicked off our annual raffle ticket sales. We started those yesterday at Tackle Day, and we're going to be continuing that now throughout the rest of the year. They make great Christmas gifts. These tickets are $10 a piece. All the money goes to take more kids fishing, of course. We're going to be giving away over $30,000 worth of prizes. That'll take place the end of April. So there's time to get those tickets. And in the very near future, like this week, we'll have the information on the website so people will know how to contact us so we can get tickets to them. But as far as the tackle donations go, what Brian just said is so true. The amount of product that we get in directly affects how much money we raise, and that goes directly back to chartering more boats to take more kids on the water. It's a real simple process. We don't like... Well, I shouldn't say we don't like, but it's difficult when people bring us products that are just really destined to go into a trash bin. You know, a rod that sold new for $20 10 years ago and has four guides missing is not something that we necessarily can use. But all the rest of the stuff, the older tackle that's still usable, is very, very important to this program. It has become one of our larger annual fundraisers, the used tackle sales that we hold, and so it's very important. But wanted to real quickly thank everybody that came out yesterday to Tackle Day. That was the best Tackle Day we've ever had by far, and I think everybody had a great time. We raised a bunch of money. Everybody from the volunteers to the people who came and bought the pickup boxes and participated, and of course Doug and Rick and all the Fisherman's Landing crew that just treated us so well and gave us prime location and took care of every need we had to make that day what it was. It was fantastic, and I just want to thank everyone.
Yeah, and I want to throw out a big thank you to Mike Lum for all the hard work you do, and another huge thank you to, and a big happy birthday to Wayne Cotto, head of CCA. Nice. Wayne doesn't have to help Cap Morales. He's got enough going on with CCA and all the different things that he fundraisers and events that he has to do and stuff like that. But there he was right next to Mike Lum all day long yesterday helping out. So happy birthday, number one, to Wayne. And, Wayne, you're amazing. Thank you.
That's pretty cool.
Very good, guys. We'll see you down the road.
All right. Thanks Mike, for all that, and glad it was such a successful operation yesterday for Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea. And again, Rollo Kids, R-O-L-L-O, kids.org. Just, there's a donate button. Click donate button or find out the various ways you can help out. And all that money goes to taking kids fishing.
All right. Hey, with that, we're going to find out what's going on the water. It's time for your saltwater guide, our fishdope.com reporter today. That catch part sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as your private boat catch, but now with Fish Pros the market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerky fish, their spices, rubs, smoked cheese, their famous tuna burger, and that amazing poke kit. They're all available now at their new location in Old Town on Taylor Street. Call for details or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Let's talk to the man. Dave Hansen is on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good morning, Pete. Good morning, Rick. Thanks for having me today.
Hey, Dave.
Good to hear from you, Dave.
That Some Fun, Pete and Rick, has so much history on it. When it was brand new, there was a guy driving it that's kind of famous. Don Hansen was the very first captain of that Some Fun. And then the very first time I ever went fishing in my whole life was on the Some Fun. And then Todd Manser's father was the captain of the Some Fun. Then Todd was the captain of the Some Fun. Then Shane Manser was the captain of the Some Fun. So that boat has a little bit of history.
Oh, that's way cool.
Way back, yeah.
Yeah, but my pops, he was the guy. He was the man. They built that thing, and he ran it off the San Clemente Pier. He carried 60 people three times a day, every single day on that thing back when they first put it in the water.
Wow.
But, yeah, if you want to learn, anybody like Chuck, you were asking Brian, if you want to learn all about the history of Dana Moore sport fishing and know everything about every one of those boats, go to my website. I got a great interview with my dad. He'll tell you all about it all. But let's talk about fishing. Unbelievable. Look at the San Diego. Is this unbelievable? It's November, right? Wide open kelp paddy fishing. Are you kidding me? Wide open kelp paddy fishing. I don't know how it gets any better. He's going out there catching over 100 day in and day out. It's insane. And then, like Wooly was saying, they were fishing rockfish. Everybody had a great idea to go on crew trip on the Fury. Let's go catch some rockfish at Clemente. They slide into the cove, find really good grade yellowtail in the cove at Clemente. It just goes to show you, we're not even close to being done yet. There's still that bluefin between the Cortez and the Tanner. It's all, like Ricky and Pete and Brian were all saying, it's enough wind already. We've had enough wind. We're over it. If the wind just stops blowing for a little bit of time, you look what happens. Every time it stops blowing, the fish come right back. They want to get on the boats. They want to go to your house for dinner. you just got to keep fishing. You got to go out. I mean, like Willie saying, still rockfish to catch down off San Onofre. I know the closure sucks, and we don't understand it. And there's a lot of things on this planet we don't understand, and we probably never will. But why is the ocean still closed from Isers Reef to San Onofre? God only knows. Someday, hopefully, he reveals that to all of us. But if you guys want to figure out how to catch these fish, go to my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com. If you want to learn all those hard bottoms that Brian Woolley and I are talking about all the time from Dana Point South, go to my website. I'll be more than happy to show you exactly where they are. Check out yoursaltwaterguide.com. I will be with you guys next Sunday. Thanks for letting me be on the show. I'm going to kick back and listen to Woolley talk some more.
All right. Thanks. And, of course, fishdope.com, your source for great information. Fishdope.com, $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. And, you know, if you want good information every day, fishdope.com, a must-have on your list there for tackle.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Yeah.
No doubt. All right.
One other thing.
Yeah.
You know where I'm at right now, Pete?
Where?
I'm driving an F-150 brand new super cab with a 29-foot Boston Whaler hooked to the back of it. I left Fort Lauderdale yesterday morning. I'm in Lafayette, Louisiana right now, and I'm going to end this trip in Puerto Vallarta.
Whoa. You're towing it down there?
Yes, sir, with this brand new F-150. What a beast.
Wow, that's gonna be a cool adventure. Now I saw on one of your Facebook things you were driving a boat through like a channel or something like that was like being towed and what was that?
Yeah. Kelly Girl and I were driving this truck across, but we were dragging our 112-foot Westport up the new Lauderdale River the other night, right after the Fort Lauderdale boat show, and they do that with a couple of tugs. It was pretty insane, huh?
Yeah, that was why it's narrow, right?
Super narrow. It's unbelievable. Those towboat drivers, they're insane. They are insane. I just couldn't believe it. I had to film it. It was just pretty bitching to be a part of.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, thanks, Captain Dave. YourSaltwaterGuide.com. Hey, safe travels. And I guess we'll talk to you next week from Puerto Vallarta.
Somewhere. We'll be somewhere on the planet Earth. Who knows where?
All right. Safe travels, Dave.
See you, Dave.
Bye, guys.
So that's going to wrap up our Catch Report. Hey, that's sponsored by Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in the USA for over 3 decades. Check out the Fish Pro series and the custom other knives from Anza, including that yellowfin and bluefin. They're all made from high-carbon steel, which holds a great edge, and they're easy to sharpen. Anza Knives are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Anza also offers knives from military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnzaKnives.com for more and get the Fish Pro series available at Fisherman's Processing.
All right, let's jump back into those jam-packed phones.
You got it. This time we're going to talk to Kevin from Pacific Beach. Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for joining us here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I just want to make a couple comments and then a question. I know I've fished out of Dana quite a bit. I'm a local down in San Diego. And just driving up the coast, you can see the topography of Laguna Beach, San Clemente, and Dana Point. It speaks for itself why rock cod fishing is so good. So that's something you can do year-round, I'm sure. And kudos go out to Captain Dave Bacon back in the day when he had the kids fishing derby down on Crystal Pier. I used to volunteer for that. It was like the best thing to see kids' faces when they just even catch a mackerel or they get caught on a pond or running back. I would tie lines for them until I was cross-eyed on that trip. So really sad that that went away. But my main question is, if I was to target white sea bass, because it's so hard to do it in your own private boat, time spent and everything, and I always see it on Facebook up there, you guys seem to be the place where all the white sea bass seem to get caught more than anywhere. I see the boats and people doing their bragging rights. What time of year would you suggest would be the best time, and what length of a trip would you want to book out of Dana Point?
Well, for us, we don't have like a, you know, obviously a specific sea bass trip, but the ones that we do catch, you know, are usually when we're just kind of anchored up along the edge of the kelp and some guy, you know, just has the wild here, he's going to fly line a live mackerel or a sardine. Typically the time of year, the springtime seems to be the best. You know, if there's a chance of any of that squid kind of pushing in onto the beach, down there off of Camp Pendleton. But then, you know, we'll catch random fish here and there throughout the season, for that matter, just about on, you know, any little stretch of the beach up through there, through that Salt Creek zone below the Ritz-Carlton there. There's not as much kelp as there used to be in that zone, but there's certainly plenty of opportunity. Guys will get in there and catch some fish. This, for us, it just seems to be kind of a bycatch, so it's hard to say. It always seems like it's the guy with the rent rod, right? The one guy that has like the brain hook sardine,
like,
happens to get a bite.
Good.
Right? So we had some fish like that, you know, 40, 50 pound fish, the same deal. So it's hard to target on a sport boat, mm-hmm. right? When you have, you know, 40 other people, generator banging around and stuff like that. But certainly it's happened. So these guys just fishing those bigger baits, I think, is the best bet I can tell you, is fishing a bigger bait.
I get where Kevin's coming from, though. It seems like all the time, you know, you see one picked mm-hmm. off here or there. I mean, again, you guys just fish in such good country for those things. I mean, there's such good bass fishing, all those different kelp lines, and they're not hit all the time. The private boat fleet doesn't hit it all. You know, you just, yeah, I mean, I'm with them. It seems like that it happens. Like you said, it happens randomly, but it seems like it happens randomly more in your backyard than anywhere
right.
else.
And I think a lot of it, too, is, you know, we're actively fishing. Like, we might sit, you know, you back your boat into the kelp, the bass is going to bite immediately, right? You have to get the chum going. You have to get stuff set up. Got to get the lines in the water, obviously, and that stuff takes some time for it to kind of filter back. And when you start catching your bass, you know, you're going to invest some time, and I think that certainly comes into play, too. You know, they got a guy in the tank that's consistently chumming, you know, up the side, lots of sardine, lots of bait in the water. And that in turn kind of works its effect. And if there is, you know, happens to be a handful of sea bass in that batch of kelp at that time, those things sometimes will, you know, kind of poke their head out and get interested. And, you know, like I said, the one guy flying a line in the mackerel might be the guy that gets the bite when that fish is, you know, pulled out of the kelp. So
now you said something important. It's like you're backing into the kelp, and a lot of times you're right on the kelp,
we're
right?
Yeah.
So that sea bass could get in that kelp.
You could
well.
Tie you up for sure. So when you're fishing that heavy or that big bait, you got to make sure you're, you know, you're prepared with your braid, right? Help you cut through the kelp and, you know, suitable deal. It's a roll of the dice for sure. But having those small little deals, fishing that bigger bait, I think that's you're going to have a chance of getting a bite on something like that.
All right. Good question. Cool. Thanks a lot for the call.
Hey, we got a great text come through. It's just, this is from Greg in Carpinteria. Wants to ask Wooly if you know what, of all the fleet, what is Don Hansen's favorite boat?
Gosh. Off the top of my head, I know he likes that Clemente boat, and it's hard to beat the timeless lines of that Real Fun, too.
Yeah,
you know, that thing's been around forever. But, I mean, I think he likes all of them for different reasons, of course, right?
Yeah, that's
different
fair.
Reasons
of course,
for
newest
sure.
boat is Dana Pride, right?
Yeah, but, you know, hearing stories of them fishing albacore on the Real Fun, at, you know, Clemente on the Real Fun, you know, back in the day. It's like, this is nostalgia is just all time, so, you know. Something like that.
That's cool.
For sure. I think he's got stories on each boat. So.
I'm sure he does.
That's good. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great texts, too. We got a lot of great texts here. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup. Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
Hi, this is Scott Sherman for Snap Insurance. I'm back from City Hall and ready to help you with all your insurance needs. I can provide you with the best in boat insurance at the lowest rates. But there's more to a policy than just a low rate. I know the coverage you need and will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Work with us to wrap your home, auto, and boat policy to save even more money. We can also help you with your commercial or business insurance. Call me, Scott Sherman, at Snap Insurance, 619-908-3100 or snapins.com.
Hey, this is Rosie from Cedro Sport Fishing. Cedros Island is considered the yellowtail and calico bass fishing capital in the world, and nobody does it better than Cedro Sport Fishing. We are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. We have made a good thing even better. We are the only lodge to offer all of our guests a direct flight departing to the CBX in San Diego. Leave home in the morning and fish in the afternoon. We have a beautiful waterfront lodge and first-class meals and service. What are you waiting for? Call me at 619-772-7570 or check out cedrosportfishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com.
Hayden Lane here from Fast Lane Kayaking, and I gotta tell you about all the rad new stuff we have in the shop. Like the fully updated new line of Hobie inflatable kayaks, the iTrek series. Hobie took the best-selling I-11S and made it even better, then added new models like it, like the new iTrek 9 that weighs just 37 pounds, fully rigged, packs into a small bag with wheels, and fits just about anywhere. And on the water, this thing performs. Featuring a super wide and flat hull shape that is stable and an elevated beach chair style seat that is comfortable. Or the all new Hobie Mirage Lynx. Inspired by the shape of the inflatable kayaks, Hobie made a durable and ultralight hardtop model. It's the missing link. It looks like a hybrid of a stand up paddleboard and a kayak. And the best part, at just 45 pounds, the hull weighs about half as much as similar sized kayaks. And it's stackable. Pile them up on your roof rack or your truck bed. You gotta see this thing. Stop by the shop. Right on the water in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay. Or check us out online at FastLaneKayaking.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're having a great time here this morning talking Dana War Sport Fishing, having a great time. Still plenty of shot for you to get through. If you want to join us on the phones, that's 213-432-1090. Not only your opportunity to talk to Captain Woolley, but also a great prize. We're giving away 2 half-day passes and 2 three-quarter-day passes to Dana War Sport Fishing.
Yeah, hey, just heard from an old friend, Carlos in West L.A. Remember Carlos?
Oh, of course,
yeah.
Totally.
He said, good morning, Fishers. I just cleaned out my garage and found a lot of old-school Worm King plastics in perfect condition. Wow. Cool. Hey, I can't wait to use them up. Are there twilight trips at the landing?
Not right now, not this time of year. We'll kick into that into the spring. We shut that down, you know, and I mean, it's going to be dark at 5:00.
I was just
going
to say, after this morning, man, you're about to not have much twilight.
Yeah. There's not much twilight.
It'll be twilight at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, for sure. So when do those start? Summertime?
Yeah, they'll start in spring.
Spring.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the days get longer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And what's a typical twilight trip?
So ours is relatively short. It's 5:30 to 9:30. But,
okay,
you know, like
nice.
Rick was saying, the habitat that we can fish is close. So, you know, we'll roll up to Salt Creek, you know, right up against that closure up there, Dana Point proper and fish, and you know, you get a couple good hours of some sunlight still, you know, some good bass fishing. We've had some sea bass, bonita, yellowtail, all that kind of stuff. We've caught Dorado on some of our twilight trips. So, and then, yeah, once it gets dark, we'll go set up on a rock or something and pick at some sand bass, some sculpin.
Calico bass fishing was my dad's favorite thing to do, and we, a bunch of times when Mills was at the landing, would drive up to Dana Wharf and do twilight fishing with Mill. Like, he would get off of work, and we'd go on the boat and, you know, fish calico bass twilight fishing. It's just, it's awesome. It's a great way to spend an evening too. I mean, you said it, you're fishing 5 minutes after you clear those jetties. It's
cool,
so
way
cool
to decompress from a day at work too.
Big time,
you know,
it
get
is
out there and catch a couple
fish
and go.
Salt Creek, barn kelp, very known habitat for black sea bass. Do you get a lot of black sea bass?
We see a lot. Yeah. Kind of what we were talking about, chumming and getting everything going. You know, there's a lot of times where that bass will be up and, you know, and then boom, that, you know, the kelp bass kind of disappears. We're like, oh, you know, black swimming around or something. someone's bass get eaten on the way to the boat or that kind of stuff. But healthy population, man, especially through like that Wheeler Reef, all that new reef that they put in there, San Clemente.
Oh, okay.
It starts, you know, Capo Beach all the way down to San Mateo Point. There's a ton of those things in there. So
and
cool.
An exciting thing to catch and release.
Yeah, we'll catch those and hook them and get them safely back.
Get them down.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump back on the phones.
You got it. Phones next up. We're going to talk to Hills. Hills caught us from Ventura this morning. Good morning, Hills. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. My question was about black sea bass. I had a question for Rick. How heavy? No, it's all good. But for Rick, how heavy of a fish can you land with a Gamakatsu Nautilus light? Was my question, and then I was gonna ask Willie about black sea bass. Like, how many does he see? And I think he probably has an advantage with marine biology information because I think Steve Crook, the eminent marine biologist's son, worked with them there, and he probably gets a little, you know, stuff about, like, can you, like, avoid the black sea bass, or do you don't even try?
I mean, there's been times where we've had to move the boat, You know, really? Because we're hooking so many of them in certain spots, certain rocks. I mean, there's certain spots, you know, like, okay, we've got 15 minutes to make a catch real quick before we get invaded.
No way.
Yeah. Take it over from us.
Right.
And that's wild. Like,
okay, we'll move, you know. Obviously, we don't want to hook those things for, you know, obvious reasons, keep those things nice, safe, and happy. But, yeah, there's no shortage of them, I'll tell you that, and all kinds of sizes, too. We're seeing stuff like 5, 8, 10-pound stuff, like small, cool little ones with the spots on them to, you know, 150-pounders. So they're pretty prolific. They're living.
And it gets and sometimes it gets so thick, you got to move.
Yep, got to make a move.
That's crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah. Now, what about that Nautilus Light?
So I don't fish a lot of Nautilus Light, and I'll tell you the reason why. I like the hook. Gamakatsu wire is extremely strong, but the reason I don't fish a lot of Nautilus White is, for me, Light is the standard wire Nautilus. That's the reason that I like it the most. It in my opinion, it is already a very skinny wire. To answer your question, Nautilus Light, I think I would fish that with, like, 25 to 30-pound test and below. You know, maybe 25-pound and below. So, you know, it's all relative, the size of fish you could catch on it. With appropriate drag and 25-pound, there's no limit to what you could do. But I would say if you're talking offshore fish, you don't want to be targeting anything that's, say, 30 pounds and bigger on that light wire Nautilus. Yeah. And the main reason is because the standard Nautilus hook is still such a light gauge wire, it's really not going to affect much the way that your bait swims anyways.
Yeah.
Just my opinion, though. By no means is that any, you know, hard rule.
That's, hey, I made a mistake this summer of tying on, it was just in the box, I tied on a Nautilus light hook. You know, because it doesn't look that much finer than the regular Nautilus. Straighten it out on a bluefin.
It happens.
You know,
yeah,
it's
totally.
Just like you just don't want to use that when you're fishing tuna.
Yeah. Calico bass fishing, having to fish an anchovy, you know, real light line scenario, sure. But I don't use them just because for that reason. I think a regular Nautilus is still you know, it's still a lighter gauge wire than most all of the competition hooks are. So,
right.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I like it so much. It's a skinnier gauge wire, but they use really good steel, so it's strong. Like, it doesn't, yeah, I like them. I'm really, really big fan of that hook.
There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Hills. Appreciate that.
All right. Hey, we had a question on a text. Somebody really interested in halibut derby, but coming down from L.A., wanting to know if it's possible to find overnight accommodations near Dana Wharf because they want to participate
Absolutely.
In halibut derby.
Yeah, totally. Good call. There's hotel in the harbor. You know, you can go on, you know, you could call our office and they can give you, you know, the phone number and the name of the hotel. I can't remember. I think it's like called Dana, I think it's called the Harbor Inn.
That's cool.
And then there's a Best Western, like, right on the corner of Pacific Coast Highway and Harbor Drive, walking distance if you really had to. So, yeah, there's definitely overnight accommodations.
So if you call the office, they have connections.
They have the phone numbers and, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They can help you with that.
Maybe you get a special Dana Wharf price.
You know, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, totally. But there's one, the one in the harbor, literally you can roll out of your room, walk past the coffee shop, get a coffee, and walk down the seawall to the
right there.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, 2 minute walk. Yeah.
Oh, that's
pretty
sweet.
Rad. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more expensive than going up, but
probably.
Sounds
but
pretty convenient.
It's nice and
you
right
can
there.
Make a whole weekend out
totally.
Of it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds like fun.
I dig it. This one was going back to our shrimp and clam questions. Hey, I'm looking forward to coming on the boat. I know traditionally no coolers are allowed on the boat. What do you think the best way is to store our shrimps and clams when we're coming fishing with you?
Yeah, we have two big ice chests on the boat full of ice on every trip, so you can just drop it, you know, where we keep our cold bait. We keep our, you know, cold squid and stuff in there, so you just drop it in the ice.
Wait a minute, clams?
Guys, a lot of guys will fish with clams too.
Yeah, does that work?
We get these big bags of this stuff. Sometimes it's all shucked and out of the shell, and we can strip that up.
That's
and fish.
Cool.
Yeah, that stuff works good too.
Works good.
We get those little cups of that stuff too.
Yeah.
But we can keep your bait cold, not a problem.
All right.
If you had a soft sided cooler too, small little lunch box size, that's cool. You
keep that's okay.
Hey,
blue,
that's
cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. You can bring like.
It's the guys that roll up with the cooler on wheels that have like you know their. Lunches and everything packed. We can't like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, small cooler.
Can't have the thing sliding around.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. Ryan from Irvine now wants to says, good morning, gentlemen. I have a question for Captain Woolley. Want to see if giant squid will come back to our coast like we had it in 2008 and 2000.
I'm sure at some point, you know, just the water's different. All that bluefin and stuff's here, right? We're just seeing a different cycle. At some point, that stuff will totally cycle back and we'll catch it. I mean, it's year round, right? I just don't think in those big
level.
Giant numbers. I mean, yeah, those guys. catching that swordfish or seeing that fish in it at some point.
There were some rumors around that there was some around here a little bit ago, so it certainly could happen.
Right, it could happen again.
Beyond rumors, I know a guy that wound one in deep dropping a couple weeks ago.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
For sure, like they snagged it in the you know, like right in the center of the body, like, you know, like, hey, I think we got a bite, you know, one of those kind of things, and wound their thing in, and they had a, you know, whatever, a three footer snagged right in the body of it. You know, I don't, again, exactly like you said, Willie, it's clearly not, you know, balls of them everywhere, but definitely 100% around at some capacity.
All right. Cool. Yeah, but giant squid, I mean, when that was happening, what was that like?
Mayhem.
Must have been absolute mayhem, right?
Dirty pandemonium. It was super fun. It was super messy and
fun
super
for
lucrative.
Kids, right?
The kids had a good time. Yeah, it's super fun. I mean, hopefully we see it again because there's a lot of people that, you know, didn't have a chance to get in on some of that stuff. It was a good time.
That was pretty wild. Yeah. Hey, this was a fun question about harbor expansion. Do you know if there's going to be any plans to remodel the tackle store or any new building plans for Dana Wharf?
I think we're set on what our deal is, where we're at. Certainly when they revitalize some other areas of the harbor, there'll be some construction and some, you know, rebuilding and some stuff like that. But for where we're at right now, I think we're good where we're at.
Yeah, great spot.
Yeah. And then the launch ramp. Another question about that.
So, yeah, when the new partners came in, I don't know all the deals and dynamics, but they did definitely, squeeze the trailer parking. It's still there. It does fill up, so come early and, you know, make sure you can get a spot for your trailer and that kind of stuff. But they still have wash downs. They still have all that stuff where you can take advantage of that.
Which is nice.
It's not as big as it used to be. Like, a lot of our parking in our zone where, you know, our passengers park their cars and stuff is where a big area that used to launch ramps used to be, but...
So it fills up on the weekend, summertime.
It does in the summer. It fills up
pretty
quick.
So then what do you do?
That's a good question.
Because there's really no place.
I know they have some overnight accommodations. They've got some guest slips in the back of the harbor and some stuff that you can, you know, drop your skiff and, you know, park the day and night before or whatever kind of a deal. But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's kind of not my world.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's there.
Yeah. So is that parking lot, because I used to launch a lot at Dana Wharf or Dana Point.
Okay.
Is it half the size it used to be?
Probably, maybe a little less.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so really tough.
So I don't know how many boats.
Because it's a great launch ramp.
It is. It's an easy outbait right there, right? Boom, fuel dock and everything right there. But, it's
easy.
It's changed. Yeah, it's definitely changed.
You know, when it comes to parking, we always just say, you just figure it out. You know, people will say the same thing, like, oh, what's it going to be like to, you know, park at Fisherman's Landing in the summertime when the tuna are biting? Like, you know what, for the last 50 years, with every boat in the fleet from all three big landings being full, everybody figures out a way to get parked and get on the boat. Like, is it a bitch in the middle of the summertime? Yep, it is. But you know what? You figure it out. You go up a block. You go into the neighborhood if that's what it takes. You know what I mean? So if you get there early, you're probably going to get a spot. And if you get there late, you got to walk a little bit. Yeah, but you know, you'll get it done.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But the cool thing is that for Dana Wharf Sport Fishing, you've got your own lot with plenty of parking, and that's really nice.
Yeah, you guys
which is
set.
Something very different than it used to be, right?
Yeah, we used to have one little lot that we had to kind of put some cars in. We had some overflow, but now there's no shortage of parking.
Now, that's what about the Catalina boat? Do they still do the same kind of thing for
them? Yeah, we have parking right there.
Oh, it's right there.
Before it was kind of a little bit of a walk
to
get the park,
that.
But now it's all in that same.
And you
zone.
Still, they still run that Catalina Flyer there.
It still runs.
Yeah.
Yep. So you go check in. They'll give you all your parking stuff for Catalina too. Same deal, kind of like us. You go get checked in with them, and they'll give you your parking.
Yeah, and it's right there at the same spot.
It's in our office.
It's in your office. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Really cool. Yeah.
That's right. All right. Well, let's jump back into the phones. Let's talk to Harry. He's called us from La Jolla this morning. Good morning, Harry. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, gentlemen. It was good to hear Rosie this morning. Last July, I was fortunate to be part of a group that went to Cedros, and by 9:40 in the morning, we had gotten our limit of yellowtail, and we then decided to go halibut fishing, and we did real well. So what Rosie said about the halibut is so true. That brings me to the next point, though. Several years ago, out of San Diego, we had halibut fishing trips that were dedicated to going down to Imperial Beach. That's not happening anymore. Brian, are there any dedicated halibut fishing trips from Dana Wharf?
Yes. We just started our actual halibut derby. Now, you know, targeting a halibut down here is completely different than targeting anything like in Alaska, right? So, you know, it's a lot of moving around, it's a lot of driving, but we do, during our halibut derby, have drift specific, like just straight. That's all we're doing is drifting for halibut. And those trips are on Fridays and Sundays. They run from 7 to 4, so it's a three-quarter day type trip. And you're automatically, when you buy your ticket for that trip, you're entered into the derby and, you know, you catch a fish. We have monthly prizes for the biggest fish of the month, some pretty amazing prize packs that sometimes are, you know, $400 or $500 values.
Wow.
We've got great sponsors. Awesome. So, yeah, those halibut-specific trips, Fridays and Sundays, and then you can buy into our halibut derby, too, on any open party trip.
And that's on
$5
now.
$5. That started, yeah, the first trip, like I said, was Friday. It started on the 1st.
Yeah.
But so, if you're just going half-day fishing, three-quarter-day fishing, whatever, you can throw in, be part of the derby, and if you happen to catch a halibut that day, it might not be a drift trip, but you're still part of it.
Yeah, so for $5 on top of your ticket, you can get into the derby on any half-day
and when does the derby end?
The derby goes, I think, through April.
Through April.
But you got to do it first. You got to throw that five bucks in.
Yep.
That's cool.
Get in on it, yeah. Hey, Harry, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Speaking of halibut, you have any advice for a guy in his own private boat for drifting for halibut? It's kind of one of those mystery fish. Where do you go? What do you do? What do you look for?
I think we've had some of our best successes when we find, you know, those hard bottom spots with some of that mud that butts up against the edge of it, you know, out in some of that deeper water where you typically find those big schools of, you know, sardine or mackerel, mm-hmm. you know, where you can kind of see where the birds are usually working.
How deep?
15 to 30 fathom. We've caught some fish out in some deeper water, and don't be afraid to use a big mackerel for bait. Yeah, you know, obviously you got to use a suitable size sinker to keep that down near the bottom. But that fish is, you know, it moves around too. And, you know, they like to live kind of on the edge of that reef, out in that mud and stuff, to pursue their prey that's kind of coming into the reef to seek refuge, right? To kind of hang out.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that deeper hard bottom, we've had some real good days on stuff out in that 20 fathom, 25.
Wow.
30, so.
Okay. So kind of where the reef meets the mud.
Right.
Yeah.
That little
that's
zone.
That's kind of a good
yep.
zone.
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely.
Good advice. And what's the favorite rig for halibut fishing?
I just think that reverse dropper loop. A lot of guys will fish, you know, they'll have their sinker in front of their bait and have a big, long, trailing leader coming off the knot from their dropper loop, and they'll have their trap rig, too. Guys
okay.
will fish two hooks.
Okay.
J-hook and a treble hook to kind of get down near the anal fin of that bigger bait.
Ah.
That mackerel could really be the sucker. You know, you can really draw by. Like, they're a sucker for a greenie. There's no doubt about it. They like those things.
And, you know, you leave your leader long enough, a lot of times, you know, that mackerel's up off the bottom. Your bait doesn't have to particularly stay. I mean, it needs to be near the bottom, but it doesn't have to be, like, on the bottom, right?
Yeah.
That fish will come off the bottom.
And the thing's kind of going crazy out there.
Yep.
How long a leader?
Some guys will fish a small foot and a half, 2 foot. Other guys will fish 2-3 foot. You know, like if you're on your private boat, you can get a good long leader going.
Yeah. The guys that you've seen successful at winning the halibut derby, what are they
doing?
That's
a good question.
That is a good one. I think they just fish hard all day, right?
Yeah.
Like when you're drifting, you can get boring, right? And you can get over it. And they're just the guys that are, you know, they'll put their bait down and they'll change it after 5 minutes.
Okay.
Right?
So
they're not
going to
just sit on the same bait. They're going to wind in. They're going to drop back down. And, you know, they're not going to sit on the same portion of the boat, right? One, he might drift the bow on one portion of the drift, and he'll go throw a bait off the stern on another, you know, part of the same drift. So just kind of cover some different area. But they just fish hard. They change their bait.
Halibut are ambush feeders, right?
Totally.
And they like a live
bait.
So
a fresh live bait is going to be the key.
Yeah.
For sure.
They don't really like to eat the dead stuff.
No, you don't want to soak your bait for 10 minutes and wonder why you're not getting a bite.
And a bait's not going to last 10 minutes. You know, a good sardine on a dropper loop, they just don't last that long.
So just change your baits.
That's good advice.
Try and sneak one more in.
You got it, Ernie. How about Ernie from Canyon Country, if we got a quick one for you? Got a quick question, Ernie?
Yeah, morning, guys. Been a long-time listener. Question is for Willie, when you're backed into the kelp and what's the best kelp cutter rod you're going to have in your hands?
The rod or the line? It's a good combination.
The whole setup. The rod, reel, line, top shot or no top shot.
Just like your 50 to 60 pound braid. A lot of guys will fish some heavier fluorocarbon. You know, I wouldn't be shy to fish 30-pound fluorocarbon if you're, you know, fly lining a bait. Something on a fast taper 8-foot rod, you know, something you can get the bait out away from the boat, but then if, you know, something does tie up, you can burn through that kelp with a couple of yanks and cranks on the reel, get that braid cutting through the kelp. A lot of guys, you know, just they're scared to scale up on a, you know, when you're fishing a bigger bait, there's no problem fishing 30 or 40 pound fluorocarbon leader on that. So just to make sure you can get it into the deep part of the kelp And then, like you said, able to pull in hard and get that stuff to cut through at the same time.
And how long a leader are you using?
Long enough where you can cast. Some guys will, you know, do a long leader so that that knot's on their spool. But I think a, you know, foot and a half or 2 foot of that fluoro is all you really need with, yeah, a, with a good,
because like, the more you have, the more powerful you have in there to cut the kelp, the better off you are. Right?
Totally. Yep.
Yeah. And then as far as rod and reel, what do you think?
I'm with Willie. Fast tapered 8 foot rod, Terramar 88, something like that, and a Tranx 400, and, you know, and I like OG original Power Pro for that. I think that's the best kelp cutter line there is. You can just feel it. It's a little gritty, yeah, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's that is the line if you're wanting to have a kelp cutter rig.
All right. Hope that helps you out. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing at Dana War Sport Fishing, giving away some great prizes and more with Captain Brian Willie. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090.
One of the dream trips for most anglers is Alaska. There are so many lodges. How do you make a choice? It's easy. Choose the one most Let's Talk Hookup listeners return to time after time. Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, and the finest charter captains in Sitka. All for the ultimate value. One visit and you will understand why nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. Sitka is famous for some of the best runs of salmon in Alaska. And if giant Alaskan halibut is your target, the expert captains at Kingfisher Charters know the hot spots and can put you on a fish of a lifetime. Plenty of rockfish and huge lingcod are there too. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. It's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except tips. It is truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136 or check kingfishercharters.com.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered. For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charter is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. Check out Islander-Charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit Islander-Charters.com for all the details. Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time. The big winner, again, 2 half-day passes, 2 3-quarter-day passes. Dana War Sport Fishing, big congratulations. Hills in Ventura. Hills, congratulations. I know you love fishing at Dana War.
Yeah, cool. And you're going to be go twice when to bring some friends.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Now, if somebody wants to come to Dana Wharf, give us kind of the schedule there here for the winter and what's coming up.
Yep, so we'll do our best to run a 3-quarter-day and a half-day boat. Through this time of the year, on the weekends, we'll have 2 half-day boats and our 3-quarter-day boat. You can reach us at our landing, danawharf.com, easy on the internet. You can check us out on Facebook or Instagram. And, we just try and keep everything relevant. Our current schedule is all up. And if you guys have any questions, you can always call the landing office, and they will go over it and let you know what's going on.
Yeah, great staff at the landing and really good people
and stuff like that.
They'll keep you going. So, yeah. And phone number there?
Our phone number up here is 949-496-5794, or you can link us to right through the Let's Talk Hookup page and we'll get you right on there.
Right on the front page of the Let's Talk Hookup website. Yeah,
totally.
Easy game.
Easy cake.
Yeah, well, great. Thanks for all your hard work for the reports every week. We really appreciate it. It's always a highlight for us to hear you talking about the good fishing up there. And thanks to all the support to the Hansen family and all that they do for many, many years with Let's Talk Hookup. And we'll look forward to having you back. And maybe
love to do it again.
We can drag Marcus down next time. Yeah,
for sure.
If he's not on a day and a half trip.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, thanks for listening today. We got thanks a lot to JP for manning the phones and bearing with all the new time zone glitches there.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah, that was great. And tomorrow I'm going into hip replacement surgery.
You are.
Yeah, so I'll be out next weekend. Ricky and Corey are going to be doing the show next weekend.
We got you covered,
buddy. Hopefully I'll be back the following week, and I don't see any reason why I shouldn't be. I got a great surgeon, and good people over at Sharp Memorial will take good care of me and stuff. So that should be a good time. And next Saturday, it's going to be, back by popular demand, it's the freelance show with Rick and Corey.
That's
it's just like open
stuff.
Phones, let them do that. You know, we hear Mr. Knowledgeable Corey about all the stuff that he does, and of course Rick, Mr. Knowledgeable about the tackle and stuff. So that's freelance show next Saturday, open phones. And then next Sunday, the cast man, Richard Castaneda from Cast Tours, is going to be here. Hey, thanks to Adam for all he does on the app, and all of you out there, thank you, and we'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 and the Let's Talk Company.